I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Today, I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. That's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well. This effort will be led by Chairman James Comer at the Committee on Oversight in coordination with Chairman Jim Jordan for Judiciary Committee and Chairman Jason Smith on Ways and Means. Now, I do not make this decision lightly. And regardless of your party or who you voted for, these facts should concern all Americans.
They should concern all Americans, but everyone has their own tribe right now, and so those on the left, especially the progressives, are saying this is just revenge payback because of Trump. But there's a big difference, and we cannot emphasize the difference enough. With Trump, there were always allegations and a witness to be heard that would be coming forward. We never heard. And evidence that was not evidence. It was manufactured, created, bought for, and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee. And anything else they uncovered, they were, again, many questions about the source. That was House Speaker Kevin McCarthy informing today that we are going to move forward with an inquiry. Now, this is not impeachment, but it begins the process. We'll break it down for you. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, September 12, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. You stay right here. You'll hear the second hour immediately. I remind you also, while on the air, we are streaming at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble, so you can watch the program at that time, or you can later pull it up if you can't watch now. You go to simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up video and or audio podcast of each and every program. You can subscribe for free. We'll send it to you. And I also encourage you to share with others. Get them involved. We want a lot of folks involved as we move closer to 2024. So today, McCarthy coming forward and saying all the work that we've seen being done by Congressman Comer and House Judiciary Chair Jordan and others, he said, it's very clear that we are ready to at least get more power. And with the inquiry, it opens up the subpoena powers to a greater extent. And the other point that McCarthy makes here, which is not actually a factual part of a case against him, but it is a case of what Biden has told the American public repeatedly. He has not said it directly to Congress under oath, so you can't get him for perjury. But it basically is the foundation for everything Joe Biden has been doing.
House Republicans have uncovered serious and credible allegations into President Biden's conduct. Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings. Eyewitnesses have testified that the president joined on multiple phone calls and had multiple interactions, dinners, resulted in cars and millions of dollars into his sons and his sons' business partners.
Millions of dollars. And that statement, he has lied. You can lie all you want to the American people. You lie to Congress when you're under oath, then you're facing perjury charges. He had lied constantly during the campaign that he had no connections, no knowledge, no discussions, nothing to do with Hunter Biden, his partners, or the business dealings. And the revelations just kept coming out. I mean, someone opened a door and they just fell from the trees everywhere. And we're not talking about just he said, she said. As Kevin McCarthy says, we have solid evidence.
We know that bank records show that nearly $20 million in payments were directed to the Biden family members and associates through various shell companies. The Treasury Department alone has more than 150 transactions involving the Biden family and other business associates that were flagged as suspicious activity by U.S. banks. Even a trusted FBI informant has alleged a bribe to the Biden family. Biden used his official office to coordinate with Hunter Biden's business partners about Hunter's role in Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company.
And we all knew from the beginning, you did not have to be a rocket scientist. You didn't have to be past the third grade to know that Hunter Biden had no knowledge of value when it came to energy. And in fact, Daddy was trying to end fossil fuel energy for the United States, but allowing it and encouraging it in places like Ukraine and communist countries because there's a deal to be made and we may want to buy it from them. But we're not going to use our own resources. Any time that a nation subjects itself to what they have to get from another country, they are hostage to that country. Now, among those responding already is Florida Congressman Michael Waltz, and here's his reaction to McCarthy's statement.
I'll just remind everyone that this will essentially enhance the investigation and help House Republicans overcome the stonewalling from the administration. But you know, I don't know what more my colleagues would need to see besides whistleblowers outlining bank records, outlining million-dollar payments from Ukrainian executives that were going to have, truly, the bank records themselves. The suspicious activity reports. I mean, the evidence is falling out of the woodwork here. We need this inquiry to give us greater legal standing. And the American people, I was just home all over my district, are demanding answers. And, you know, but for House Republicans, we would never get them.
That's true. Now, there are some House Republicans that are ready to rush to impeachment. It remains, of course, to be seen, first of all. If there are 218 House Republicans who would vote to authorize an impeachment inquiry, and several moderate Republicans, including Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado, Don Bacon of Nebraska, have been skeptical of the need for an impeachment inquiry. I have no idea how to explain that they're that clueless, that they don't even think there's a need for an impeachment inquiry, which is what McCarthy is moving forward with. Not actual impeachment, the inquiry. Why would Congressmen Buck and Bacon, both Republicans with R's behind their names, let me put it that way, are still skeptical? So McCarthy's going to have to work on them and some others to make sure he can get 218 Republicans in the House who would vote to authorize the impeachment inquiry. Well, Buck told MSNBC on Sunday, and of course, that tells you a lot about it. He's already sold out to the left because they invite him on because he's going to target McCarthy and Republicans in general. He said the time for impeachment is the time when there's evidence linking President Biden. And if there's evidence linking President Biden to a high crime and misdemeanor, that doesn't exist right now. That still doesn't mean you cannot have an impeachment inquiry. He's setting a standard and a goal which was ignored when it came to Donald Trump. And then there's the other issue that McCarthy points out as to how the Biden family was surrounded by protection.
Despite these serious allegations, it appears that the president's family has been offered special treatment by Biden's own administration. Treatment that not otherwise would have received if they were not related to the president. These are allegations of abuse of power, obstruction, and corruption. And they warrant further investigation by the House of Representatives.
They do warrant further investigation. And I think we're at a point now that we are going to move forward and do it. Well, at least McCarthy says, I'm going to push it now. We get congressmen like Buck of Colorado and Bacon of Nebraska standing in the way. Who knows if they can try to unravel some additional. Now, on another front, many of us are still shaking our heads and angry, flat out angry, at the Biden administration just agreeing to release $6 billion and five Iranian prisoners in exchange for Americans held in Iranian prisons. I always want Americans home. But when you start paying a ransom, you know what happens. Well, to that extent, they made that word public. And that is the thing that is another reason to get angry over. The Biden administration makes it official yesterday on the anniversary of 9/11.
And the timing was terrible when it was really announced yesterday on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. And people need to understand that Iran's not a friend of the West at all. I mean, these are the largest arms supplier to the Russians in their fight against Ukraine right now. They're a very destabilizing force in the Middle East. They're heading towards a nuclear breakout in the near term. And they're pulling allies away from us. You know, that recent deal that they cut with the Saudis, brokered by the Chinese to have peace between both of them. This is not good. And then when you look at the outreach they've got to terrorist organizations like Hezbollah, that's that where that money is going. You know, President Biden said, well, the money's going to go to humanitarian efforts. No, it's not. Anybody in their right mind knows exactly where it's going to go. It's going to go to terrorist activities, support of military activities by the Quds Force, which are external operations, and their fight against Israel. So all of this is just not good. It was not good timing. It was not good release of the money for the Iranians. It doesn't help the West at all.
Not at all. That, of course, the statement from former National Security Advisor General Keith Kellogg. It's a terrible deal, and the timing was stinky as well. CNN claims it has in its hands the actual statement from Blinken confirming that the U.S. was commanding or rather committing to commit this transfer. These are restricted South Korean accounts. That's where the money's being held, to release them to Qatar and then in turn to be used for humanitarian grounds. But that's not going to be used that way any more than the money that was shipped overnight by Obama in those planes. Small amounts of currency, different denominations, was going to be used for humanitarian purposes. They're going to be used for terrorist activities, and in fact, they were. And Congressman Waltz of Florida says again, this Iran deal is wrong.
Let's remind everyone, in addition to the billions of dollars, they're also getting five Iranians back. And I can't get a straight answer on who these Iranians were or what they did or what their value is. But, you know, I mean, to the point, there's only upside for taking Americans hostage. There's no downside. And while my heart breaks for these families and I'm sure that their hearts are beating through their chest right now to get their loved ones back, this is only going to incentivize future hostage taking. Until we raise the costs, until every terrorist group, until every dictator and regime out there is afraid to take Americans hostage because the consequences will be so high and so painful for them, it's only going to continue. And that's what's such a shame about this transaction.
And this administration has the idea, well, give them whatever they want. They want the money. is being kept from them. It is their money, but it's being held in South Korea. And now we're going to go ahead and just give it to them. And the State Department's basically saying, this is not using taxpayer dollars, U.S. taxpayer dollars. It's going direct to Iran. No taxpayers being used. No taxpayer dollars being used. But you're putting American taxpayers at risk. And there's nothing in their statement that concludes that's a possibility. How else could you get some hostages? Well, again, Congressman Walz says, look back at what happened under Pompeo.
Let's just roll back the tape just a few years when Mike Pompeo came back with three Americans that the North Koreans were holding, and they gave them back in order to be able to engage in talks with us. You know what? You send a message that you don't get to talk to the United States, you don't do transactions. You know, we are going to crank down on your economy. We're going to raise the costs until every single American you're holding is free. Instead, it's the other way around with these guys. You know, it's what can we give? What more can they put on the table from this White House in order to get Americans free? It's the exact wrong approach. It's an appeasement approach. And more Americans are going to be taken, mark my words, within the next year. Because, again, they always get something in the end from this administration.
So let that be a notice to you if you're thinking of a trip to Europe, France, so forth. They will be looking for Americans wherever they can grab them. You don't have to be traveling to Iran. If they can grab you anywhere, then they'll say, what else can we get for this person? I'm not trying to tell you not to do it. I'm not trying to frighten you. But the reality is there is now a target on the back of every U.S. citizen. And then we've got this issue that the North Korean leader in an ironclad armored train traveled into Russia to meet with Putin to work a little deal. And to that extent, again, former National Security Advisor General Kellogg says this is not good.
You look at the alliance you've got between China, between North Korea, between Iran, and Russia as well. And it's something we have to counter. And we haven't done that. We've kind of left Kim Jong-un alone over the last few years, hoping he'd kind of just sit on the sidelines and not do very much. He's always been a bad actor. We've tried to take him off the stage, in other words, isolate him under the last administration. And this administration just ignored him. And there's one thing we found about Kim Jong-un. You can't ignore that man. You can't ignore what he does, because he's trying to do a breakout of technology, advanced nuclear weapons, advanced his ability to have more and better and longer range ICBMs. It's just a real threat. And you look at all these things coming together, and it's a very disturbing development in the area of national security. And it's something we're going to have to address. It's something we are not addressing right now. We're going to have to address in the future of all these nations coming together. And it's a threat to the United States and to the Western world and to the Pacific as well.
And we also have no idea how many terrorists are inside our country because Biden opened the border. Next hour, second hour, we'll get into that. And also coming up before this hour is over, Joe Biden claiming he was at 9/11 the day after it happened. Liar. Flat out lying. More talk of COVID, of course. Will you be one of the sheep this time around, or will you want facts instead of political science? My next guest on those issues. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is going to deal with a subject that I know a lot of you are already getting concerned over and worried about what your school is demanding or will demand, and then your city, your county, the state, everybody. Yes, COVID cases are increasing. I talked to my daughter last night. She thinks, said she and my grandson might have it. She said we did the home test. Shows negative. She said, I don't know to trust these things one way or the other anyway. But they're going to get better. Said, I don't even think we need to go to the doctor. Just had to deal with it. But a lot of people, they get it, and they suddenly start spiraling out of control. I leave this to you and your doctor. You make the decision. But here's a question that I think is worth pursuing, and it's part of a piece written by Federalist Contributor. And I'm telling you, we've had her on before, and she's right to the point every time. Avita Duffy with The Federalist, also co-founder of Chicago Thinker. Welcome aboard again, Avita.
Thanks for having me.
So your piece basically dealt with how to avoid being one of the sheep of this latest COVID vaccine mask situation, because we were sheep last time. But maybe we were good sheep, maybe we were bad sheep. But do we do that again?
Right. There were a lot of people who the first time around were scared, were uncertain about what we were dealing with, right? And they masked up, they locked their businesses down, they kept their kids home from school, they you know, got vaccinated, got boosted, because they didn't know, because there was a lot of lying from our public health officials, a lot of fear mongering. Now we know the truth. Right? We know that masks, even N95s, do not work. We know that the vaccines do not stop you from contracting or transmitting COVID. We know that the lockdowns were totally ineffective and did much more harm than good. And now that we're seeing COVID come back, and we're seeing at least the hysteria of COVID come back, because we're always going to have COVID in different variants, just like we do the seasonal flu, people are starting to you know, drum up the fear and hysteria again, notably Joe Biden, Whoopi Goldberg. And it's time for everybody to look back at what happened the first time and say, this is not going to happen again. We are not going to shut down. We're not going to mask up. We're not going to be getting boosted and double vaxxed. And we're not going to put N95s on our kindergartners, because that's nonsensical.
Well, now, to the point that when you said the masks don't work, and I agree with you, but Fauci the other day, he said, well, they may not work on a universal basis, but on a one-to-one basis. Well, the whole thing was supposedly a universal issue. So that makes no sense as they try to respin his intentions regarding mask. And then, of course, even the N95 mask, we're told, could cause additional health issues. And the boosters, the vaccines, everything they told you would work, as I distinctly remember, MSNBC, Maddow saying, you get the shot, it's done. It goes no farther. Liar.
They're all liars. And the fact that we're still using Dr. Fauci as a point of authority, when he's the one that greenlit the funding that went to the Wuhan Lab of Virology, yeah, with our tax dollars, to then actually spark the entire pandemic, that he's not in jail or at least being under investigation is astounding to me, let alone that he's on CNN and MSNBC trying to give us health advice again. But I think what really is concerning to me, and this came out yesterday in a Washington Post report, is not only are we bringing back the COVID hysteria, but we're also bringing back the COVID censorship. So on Instagram threads right now, if you search COVID, and if you search COVID, just the word COVID or anything related to COVID, on threads, on reels, on your For You page, you will get a pop-up for the CDC, mm-hmm, and a link to the WHO and the UN. that is, and nothing else. They are saying that these are trusted sources. At this time, they don't want you to hear from anyone else, which is a repeat of what happened last time. And it's a sign that we all need to be really strong about telling the truth, about sounding the alarm bells, and not letting them control the narrative like they did last time.
Well, you know, to that point, I do know that if I just put on my Facebook page, would tell you how to spell COVID, I'd get a pop-up. And as to what you're talking about, if folks are telling about, well, my cousin got ivermectin and it worked for them, they're relating their anecdotal story. I mean, you can't say if it's true or not, but they're not even allowed to share what someone else did. They're not trying to say it will work for everyone. They're just saying in this case, it did.
Right. Exactly. And I think that is where the real frustration comes from, because a lot of people say, well, where do I have to go? If I can't post about it on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, how can I spread the word? And I think that it's really going to be up to Americans to go to alternative platforms, to be using the social media companies and apps who don't have partnerships with the UN, with the CDC, with these globalist entities that want to control the narrative. There's a really interesting article by Whitney Webb, who basically talks about how the UN has differentiated between natural rights, right, which are given to us by God, and human rights. And under human rights, they can take them away or they can bestow them on us, because right. They're given to you by the government. And that's what's happening now with COVID. They say, in the name of public health, we are going to take away this human right of yours to disseminate mis and disinformation. And they're the ones that get to decide what is and isn't disinformation. They have become the arbiters of truth. This is a replay of 1984. And it is up to us, really, to not support these platforms that are partnering with the UN, with the CDC, with the Biden administration, like we saw with Missouri v. Biden, and to go to alternative platforms where there's actually freedom.
Well, that takes me to your headline on the second line below it, as it appeared the Federalist. You're listening to Evita Duffy Alfonso, and it states at the headline, I don't know if you wrote the headline, but then the second line below it, it says, if you were a sheep during COVID, admit you were wrong and do better next time. Those who were COVID cowards need to stand up against tyranny in the future. It's the least they can do.
Yeah, I wrote that line, and I wrote that sort of in frustration, because I lived in Chicago during COVID. I wasn't able to go out to eat. I wasn't able, to go to a movie theater. I actually almost got expelled from school because I didn't get the vaccine. It was really, really hard, but I, stuck to my guns and I said, I'm not going to kowtow to this insanity. I'm going to actually follow the science, which says that natural immunity works, and that masks don't. And I was really frustrated by the number of conservatives that I saw not stand up against the COVID insanity, that got the vaccine, that masked up whenever they were told, and really did not stand with those who were standing against the insanity, maybe those who got expelled from their universities or who lost their jobs. And it's because of those people who knew better and still went along with the COVID insanity that the others who were brave ended up being punished. Because if enough people had stood together and said, no, we are not going to comply with this insanity, then they wouldn't have had, they meaning the government, meaning the health bureaucrats, would not have had the power that they did. And right. That's the lesson for next time.
And of course, we acknowledge that I want the individual to make their own decision. And for some people, they may choose for themselves and or their family to do it. But not be ordered or restricted if you don't. Now, I want to share something with you. I had someone recently send me on email or Twitter, Larry, listening to your remarks about COVID and masking, you should meet my stepmother. She shares the same views. Well, I thought he was just trying to be approachable and friendly, and I responded and said, well, tell her I appreciate the support. And then this is where he had hooked me, sent back the message, oh, my bad. She died because she wouldn't wear the mask and get the vax. In other words, blaming me for her death.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of what they like to use. They like to say that, you're a grandma killer. You're not promoting public health. We have to think about what our founders said when they established this country, right? I mean, Ben Franklin said a little safety for, you know, or a temporary, a little giving up, right, to get the quote, but he basically said giving up liberty for temporary safety means that you do not deserve liberty or safety. You have to be willing to protect the constitutional rights and the civil liberties that we as Americans have, no matter what. And what happened during COVID was a complete departure of norms in American life and an assault on the freedoms that we as Americans used to apparently value and enjoy. And that is where the difference comes in. I think you can, if you want to stay home and shelter at home, you can do that.
Yeah.
But you can't stop other people from doing
individual choice, Sarah. Individual choice. And of course, when it came to masking kids, we kept saying this is going to hurt their learning. They ignored it. Now they acknowledge, yeah, it did. There was a report that just came out the other day, another possible response to COVID vaccine, what they call the white dot, where people lose vision or distorted vision in one eye. And then it came back, and then it came back again after they had been off the vaccine for a while. So then they weren't sure if it was the COVID that created it or the vaccine or both. And we continue to hear these stories about maladies that surfaced after someone got the vaccine. Now, we have no clear conclusion on any of it. But again, that's going to be pushed as this science says.
Right. And I have a friend who was enlisted in the military. He went out there after high school. He got the COVID vaccine because he was required to, got myocarditis, and now is discharged and his military career is over. I have another friend who played football at the University of Chicago. He had to get the vaccine.
I'm sorry, you broke up. One more time. You got what very quickly in the last 20 seconds. What did you say?
No, I've had a lot of friends who have lost out on career opportunities and their sports because they were forced to get the vaccine. And then became vaccine injured. That is another question we've been able to discuss.
All right. Avita Duffy Alfonso, staff writer for The Federalist and co-founder of The Chicago Thinker. As always, I appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you.
We will do it again. She's right. She's absolutely right. I mean, it don't just roll over this time. Now, in the beginning, the first time, we weren't sure. I understand that. But we have more information now, and we know. And we know Dr. Fake was doing exactly what it said he was doing. He was lying. Coming up, the unbelievable remark Biden made, but before that, gun controls. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time. I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights?
Well, there you have it from the New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, Democrat, in a news conference stating again that the constitutional rights that you read about, your First Amendment, Second Amendment, they're not absolute. You know, and I have the authority as a governor to denounce them. So what she had done the other day, as we had documented for you, she decided to put a ban on carrying handguns in cities like Albuquerque and the neighboring county, where they had a lot of violence from time to time. Now, a couple things to keep in mind. There was a time in New Mexico, prior to all of this happening, that there was open carry allowed. Now, open carry means you walk in a store, someone you may see they have a gun on their hip. That shouldn't frighten you, but some people do get frightened if it's a civilian carrying it, unless they see a badge on. But we even know of cases where police officers, fully uniformed, go into a restaurant, and we've had the management or ownership go to the officers and say, can you leave? You're scaring our customers. Why am I scaring your customers? Because you're carrying a gun. You know, not that he went in there to start shooting people. He's on duty, stopped by to get something, and it frightens the people inside the restaurant. What sniveling cowards you are! Go find your safe room and a box of crayons and stay there. But this New Mexico governor is building upon that, saying, well, we're not going to have open carry. And quite honestly, let me clarify one thing. I'm not a big proponent of open carry where you're openly displaying that you are carrying a weapon for two reasons. One, I don't want to make anyone feel that uneasy. If I'm not in a uniform and wearing a badge, I can understand the thought. Most should not jump to that conclusion, but if they don't know who I am, I'm in black shirt, black cap, they see the pistol, they don't know what's going to happen. I understand that. Same thing about walking around with an AR-15. I mean, why? Or a rifle. Granted, there was a time that every kid, and I know in our high school, every pick-em-up truck in the school parking lot had rifles and shotguns in the racks in the pickup and pick-em-up truck, because at the end of the school day, we would often go out hunting dove or whatever. We didn't take them to school to shoot people. Things have changed. I understand that. But then the other reason I have against open carry for civilians, you openly displaying that you're carrying, you might encourage someone to try to attack you and take it away from you and then use it on someone. And if you're not prepared for it, they might get the advantage of you. You think not? There are a lot of police officers who have been shot by their own revolvers, their pistols. So don't think that you could always be prepared. But what we have going on in New Mexico is that there was, as you heard her mentioning, this child who was killed. Now, what about his family and their constitutional rights? Well, I agree, and I feel for that family and the loss as well. But then what about the next family, where if someone had been there with a gun, they might have put an end to a killer and saved a child, if not their own child? Doesn't that child have the right to have someone be there to help protect them? She only sees it through one set of lenses. That's the issue. I just presented you a myriad of examples where you can find reasoning on either side, because I believe in giving you a balanced approach. Then I'll give you my final decision on what I think, but that doesn't mean you have to accept my thinking. But at least I can validate it. This woman is just making her remarks. And I'll tell you someone else, and I mentioned again previously, someone else that is a surprising opponent of what she's doing. You remember, of course, the deadly shooting at Florida's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. One person came out of that that became a leader of the gun control movement, David Hogg, going around speaking and everything as a high school student, now well out of high school. And his response to what she did, let me read what he put up on his Twitter X account. I support gun safety, but there is no such thing as a state public health emergency exception to the U.S. Constitution. My God, David Hogg has become pretty intelligent. And that's correct. There is no exception to the U.S. the U.S. Constitution. And numerous lawmakers in New Mexico are already accusing her of trampling on citizens' rights, say she should be removed. The top Republican in the chamber says, public health order for gun control, stand strong. Stand up, New Mexico. We're not the criminals. Our rights are being trampled upon. Which brings us to a question that got posed by reporters covering this news conference. It's a little hard to understand the question, but I will tell you now, if you're listening, the question is asked, well, what does this mean about the thugs, the criminals carrying guns?
If this climate is so out of control, somebody should do something. I'm doing as much as I know to do.
Do you really think that criminals are going to hear this message and not carry a gun in Albuquerque on the streets for 30 days?
No,
it won't stop them. Of course they're not going to stop them. If they're carrying it to commit a crime, they're going to commit a crime. They don't care about your stupid law. They don't care about the Second Amendment, other than they can have the gun. They don't care about, and of course that's a violation if they have not bought it properly, and if they don't have a right because they're a convicted felon, it's still not going to stop the thugs from carrying their guns. Now, I'm willing to bet, without even checking on it, the New Mexico governor has a security force. She has the New Mexico State Police with her and individual guards with her. Long before even this happened, that's just standard procedure of elected officials at that rank. Is she going to give all of those up? Well, I mean, if you listen to Cori Bush of Missouri, Congresswoman, she spent, you know, now who knows how many thousands upon thousands of dollars for private security while telling you you should not be having a gun. These people are whacked out on the idea that we need more gun control laws. If you're really serious about that, New Mexico governor, you need to go up there and demand U.S. prosecutors hit Hunter Biden with the heaviest gun charges they can pile on top of him. Do it immediately. He lied on his application to get the gun. That's a federal offense. What are you doing about that, Governor? Oh, well, I'm taking care of things in New Mexico. No, you're not. You're not. We'll see how that plays out. And there's been a court order filed for a temporary restraining order, but still no action on it. The people are speaking out, and they're making their voices heard. But now I want to turn the corner and go to something else. And this is Joe Biden. It was in Alaska on 9/11. He did not go to any of the sites of the 9/11 bombings. He did not go and see New York City, Shankstown, Pennsylvania, where the plane went down, the Pentagon. He was in Alaska at a mobile command, and he was going to talk to them about it. He's talking to soldiers, and he's trying to embellish what he did on 9/11 when it's an absolute lie. Stand by.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, County Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When evil attacked, Ground Zero in New York. And I remember standing there the next day and looking at the building. I felt like I was looking through the gates of hell.
But records show that then Senator Biden made it to Ground Zero on the 20th of September. That was 9 days later, Congressman. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He misspoke. But the White House is refusing to respond to this morning.
You know, I don't know why he has such an inherent need to embellish, to frankly, to lie. In this case, he was speaking directly to soldiers. I spent some time 2 weeks ago with Gold Star mothers from the Abbey Gate bombing. He lied directly to them, to their face at Dover Air Force Base, and said that Bo Biden came home in a flag-draped coffin, that he died in combat. I mean, and I'll just remind everyone, he dropped out of his first presidential race in 1988 for plagiarism and for lying then. It's bad enough on the face of it, but on 9/11, directly to soldiers is just really shameful.
Shameful is the least offensive word you could use on the air. You have others I could line up for you. That was Florida Congressman Waltz, who was a former Green Beret, so he knows of what he's speaking. And the fact that Biden just had to put himself into the scene of 9/11 the day after it happened. Well, maybe he forgot the timing, you know, gets it mixed up. I've done things like that, mixed up a date, but I don't think I would be so confused that I don't recall when I stood at the rubble of 9/11. The next day. He was nowhere near there the next day. He is using his words, a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. What does that mean? Well, those are the words he's been throwing around. You want an example? Let me give you one, since you asked. I'm so glad you said, Larry, can you give us an example? I've got one for you. This happened most recently in Vietnam, not the first time he's done it. And speaking in Hanoi this weekend, Biden said the only existential threat humanity faces is even more frightening than a nuclear war. Can you imagine anything more frightening? Let's stop right there. Can you think of anything more frightening than a nuclear war? I don't mean a bomb going off in just one country. I mean a war where they're being used against countries. Can you think of anything more frightening? Well, he says there is something more frightening. I could give you three guesses, and I think you'd get it on the first one. Let's continue his statement from Hanoi. The only existential threat humanity faces, even more frightening than a nuclear war, is global warming. Hot damn, we did it again. We got the green pie in the sky back in play. Global warming going above 1.5 degrees in the next 10 years. So he changed it 20 to 10 years. There'd be real trouble. There'd be no back from that. There's not a lot we can do in the meantime. For example, that pipeline, that railroad we're talking about giving across the middle from India throughout the Middle East and across the Mediterranean and all through Europe, that's going to have to be a hydrogen pipeline there. Going to significantly reduce the amount of carbon emission. Do you realize also that when Antony Blinken did that secret trip recently to Ukraine, and saying, we're going to release millions of dollars, $500 million for you. And we've got more money being prepared in Congress to add to the $113 billion we've already given you. You know what that $500 million was that Blinken was going to be giving at that time to Ukraine? It was to help them with their green plans in Ukraine. They are in the middle of a war with bombs going off, shells being fired, big diesel tanks and trucks moving all over the ground, and you're going to tell me that $500 million is going to make them a greener place, and they would then therefore be in compliance with the progressive left idea? My friends, they just took $500 million out of the U.S. Treasury and dumped it into the air for no reason whatsoever. They're never going to learn. And if they're not going to learn, let's excuse them. In other words, let's boot their butts out. Coming up in the next hour, we've got a lot of terrorists inside our country. We don't really know how many. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.